ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
Today we're going to be starting off on continuing in our series titled what?
Believers Love Walk.
Thank you very much. Titled The Believers Love Walk, right? And last week, what did we look at? Anita is the only one in this church. Last week, what did we look at?
This loving God.
And we looked at the love of God. Say the love of God.
The love of God.
All right. We looked at the love of God. And today, Matthew 23:23. I want to start from here. I know we spoke about this last week, but this is a very good premise to continue on. Oh, no, I didn't talk about this last week. Matthew 23:23. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
I want us to read it like a mass choir. Matthew 23:23. 1, 2, go. No. Read it again. Please read like you are not reading from the Quran. Read like it's a Bible you are reading from. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Read it again. 1, 2, go.
Woe to you, scribes
and
Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
Hypocrites.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Justice and mercy and faith.
Uh-huh.
These you ought to have done.
Without leaving the others undone. You see, I think this verse is something that every time I read it, it just lets me know that God too has priorities. Say God has priorities. So when he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matter. So Jesus is saying, what you did prior is fine, but there are weightier matters. There are weightier matters, i.e., there are some things that matter more to God than some other things. So these ye ought to have done without leaving the others what? Undone. It means that it's good you did this once, but then there are some other things that you ought to have done as well. As a matter of fact, if you have done this once and have not done the other ones, you have not met a particular mark. You have not crossed a particular standard. Please, are you with me, TC?
Yes, sir.
So, it's just, you know, when we're looking at the subject of purpose, we said that there are some things that weigh more than other things. Is that true? There are some things that weigh more than other things. So there are some things that are most important, even though those other things are good. For example, it is his will that we be in health and prosper. However, if I have to die for his cause or experience inconvenience for his cause, that weighs more. Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
God prospers, but if I have to lose a job for his cause, that weighs more. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So there are weightier matters as far as God is concerned. And Jesus was basically telling the Pharisees, you know, one of the major problems Jesus had with them was they held on to things that were very religious, but then there were other things that they ought to have seen, or other things that their religion was supposed to have led them to that they discarded of. Matthew 5:23. Look at Jesus speaking. He said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Give me the next verse. He said, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come on, are you with me, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes,
this is what Jesus said. Jesus said that if your brother... Go, give me verse 23 again. Mola Hassani. My kaparuda vande kleruas. Baye kadani puru katande klazuvaha. Makanda kadani garak gelwala waselwa lantani barei kakatune verika bandas elu baraka tekla gani keru savanada kaidene weriku atabala hande. Yamwa, please come. Metakadia na sadwa kaban erush kadef arak tanis telua dani gabara tave negosai.
The Lord said to say to someone here, why are you dismayed? Why is your heart heavy? I'm seeing you in your sitting room on Thursday. You were worried. There was heaviness upon you. The Lord said, have I not come through for you again and again? Will I not come through for you again? Doug, please give me 10 minutes on the keyboard. Have I not come through for you before? Will I not come through again? You were in a tight corner, but then my hand brought you out of it. You were in a time in your life that you called a valley of dry bones, but then I rescued you. Is my hand too short that it cannot rescue? Are my ears dumb that I have not heard you? The Lord says, I will bring you out. I will rescue you, and you will know it is my hand that has made it be, says the Spirit of God. Come on, celebrate God on that. Pray in the Spirit, everybody. David, stand up. Kaba kaba na tala bahanda. Kaba tolo mo tolo mo koto la mandere. David, I hear the Lord say, look at me. Don't produce it in it. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Because your secret tears don't count for nothing. Your secret tears don't count for nothing. The heart in the place of prayer doesn't count for nothing. Because he's a rewarder. He sees. He sees. And the Lord says he sees. You know, it is interesting. I'm saying this to you. When the Bible says that, when the Bible says that, the Old Testament writers will write and say, and God remembered this person. It's interesting because we serve a God who does not forget, who knows all things. But that is the way they could explain a sudden intervention of God. I heard the Lord say, to say this to you, he has remembered you. 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 I have seen, I have heard, and I have remembered since, says the Spirit of God. I have seen, I have heard, and I have remembered, because I'm seeing a vision. I'm seeing you pray in your room, and I'm seeing as you were praying, you suddenly went on your knees and bent over. You suddenly went on your knees and bent over. I'm seeing a prayer body, or a burden in prayer, not a prayer burden. It's not a burden to pray. It's a burden that you've taken to prayer that has lasted this week. And I'm hearing the Lord say, what I'm hearing in my spirit is maybe similar. Lord, will you not come through? Will you not come through? And the Lord says, I have. Not I will. I have. I have. I have. I have. I have a sudden intervention of God. I have, says the Spirit of God. I have. I have. I have. Have your seat, baby. Celebrate God for that. Come on. Jehovah Shalom, Shalom. You are mighty in this place. Shalom, Shalom, Jehovah, Shalom, Shalom, you are mighty in this place. Shalom, Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, Shalom. You are mighty in this. Let's sing that two more times. Come on, let's lift it. Shalom, Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. You are mighty in this. Say Shalom, 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 Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Shalom, Shalom. You are mighty. Asher, stand. Stand. You go stand or not? Kabo kombre kataka pataya. Paila padana farda katekonda. I'm seeing a picture. The Lord is showing me. The Lord is showing me what looks like a vial of oil or a drop of oil, and on it is written ease. On it is written ease. I hear the Lord say to tell you, I will help you. I will help you. Ease. Ease. But I will help you. Kaba kambra ta 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 ta. Because what I want to say doesn't concern everybody. So I will speak high level so that you and I will just know what I'm saying. For the very important next steps, the questions are, how do I go from here to there? Because it's a very large, step. How do I go from here to there? How do I, thank you, Jesus. What I'm seeing in the spirit is the question of, how do I take this leap? Because it's a very big step that has a lot to do financially. And not once, but sustainably. How? And the Lord said to tell you that how creative miracles work is that when you move, the resources will meet you in front. Huh? When you move, the resources will meet you in front. Shalom, Shalom. Jehovah, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. You are mighty in this place. Matthew 5:23. Praise the Lord. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, where's that starting from? No, it's starting from here. And there rememberest that thy brother had aught against you. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, leave your gift first. Go your way, reconcile with your brother, and then come. We're going to have a prophetic service, one of these. Time is a restraint. He said, go your way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Do you know what Jesus is saying? You guys have probably heard me say this many times. God accepts a man before his gift. Come on, are you listening to me? God accepts a man before his gift. So that's exactly why the Bible will not just tell us to give. Paul will tell you how to give. That God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, one that is giving and laughing. Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
And the fact that it is sacrificial does not mean it is not cheerful. He says, leave your gift at the altar. And verse 23, I think I found it very interesting because he said, if your brother has something against you, not necessarily if you have something against your brother. So, the believer is one who lives in peace with all men, or at least tries to. Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
So, if your brother has something against you, go to your brother and sort that thing out first before you come and lay down what you have. You see, I think it's interesting that Jesus tells us the story of the Samaritan. The one that was robbed by thieves. And as he was robbed by thieves, we find that different kinds of people passed him. You know, someone, a Pharisee passed him. And he said, I'm going to give worship. Probably when I come back, I'm then going to attend to your needs. Come on, are you here? Yes. If anything we learn from that story is simply this. I've said it this way. The end of theology is doxology. At the end of your knowledge of God is your worship of the Lord. So, you can do things rightly so in line with your faith, and those things are wrong because they are weightier matters. Come on, are you listening to me? Because they are weightier matters. So the Pharisee will leave Jesus, will leave the man that is wounded and run and say, you know what? I want to worship. I want to go and worship. When I come back, I'm going to attend to your needs. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you can't love a man who you can see, how will you love God who you cannot see? Yeah. How will you love God who you cannot see? You see, the context of this is because there are people who are Christianly wicked. Mm-hmm. I heard the story of someone who, he didn't pay his employees for the month of January. And they were like, what's going on? He said, I have given the salaries as first fruit. That's wicked. Do you know what the Bible says? You know, I think it's even interesting that it is James, an apostle, that wrote it. He said, the cries of those you have defrauded, the cries of the laborers who you have withheld their wages has risen. He didn't call him savior or anything. He said he has risen to Sabaoth. That's the one who is the commander of the heavenly hosts. The one who you have defrauded, you have held their wages. Their cries have risen up to him. Best believe he will respond. He will respond. So, how did we get here? In 1 John. So, Matthew 5:23-24. It should show us one thing, like I said, the end of theology is done. It makes absolutely no sense for us to give me the same verse, the same chapter, go to verse 38. It makes absolutely no sense for us to keep on heaping God's word to ourselves and God's word is not touching us. The definition of empty religion, because, you know, a lot of people hate that word religion, but James calls Christianity religion. So, you know, the next time a TikToker comes and says Christianity is a relationship, it's not a religion, it's a lie. Every religion, every relationship has religious aspects. Yeah. Yeah. So religion is not necessarily a bad word. So he says, James said this is true religion, feeding the widows, taking care of the poor. So he calls Christianity a what? Religion. But look at this. He said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hold on, let me even finish that thought. And the definition of empty religion is theology that does not affect your conduct, or theology that does not affect your worship. Because the truth is, why we act right is in worship to the Lord, is in worship to the one who has called us righteous. So you don't live right to be righteous. Or you don't live holy to be holy. But because he has called you holy, because he has called you righteous, you live as such. Are you getting me? So you are not doing it to be. It's because you are doing. That's simply what it is. So, if we consistently, remember I said last week, there is the temptation to just be spiritually satisfied with good sermons. What a good word. When there is no connection, no link between Sunday and Monday, the word has not touched you. Come on, are you listening to me? When there is no link between Sunday and Monday, when there is no link between what you know and what is in your heart, when there is no link between conduct and knowledge of God, something is fundamentally wrong. And that's exactly why we're doing teachings like this. You know, last week we looked at the person of God, the loving nature of God. We did absolutely nothing to merit his love. And nothing will separate us from the love of God. Come on, are you here? We did absolutely nothing. When the believer is in error, God is lovingly wanting to bring that believer out of error. That's what he wants to do. He lovingly wants to bring that believer hastily out of error. That is the Lord's stance. So we did nothing to accept that love. And we can coast to that aspect and just bask around it. God loves me. God cares for me. You know, I'm worth more than many sparrows. This is how we know the love of God, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish. I believe I will not perish. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 8. You know, this is how we see the love of God, in that he sent his only son to die. You know, these are eternal truths. But with new creation realities come responsibilities. And that's exactly why this sermon is titled Mirror, Love Response. As you have seen what he has done for you on the cross, he puts a responsibility on you to also do. So we are not doing. Why we are doing is, what is the premise for the believer's love? God's love for him. Because he loves you, you have a response. What we are touching on today also is reasonable service. Is a love response. That's why it's called mirror. Because you see what he has done. Speaking of mirror, the Bible says in the book of James, it says, a man who is a forgetful hearer will not do the word. Why? Because he's a man that will see himself in the mirror. He's likened to a man who sees himself in the mirror, forgets how he looks like and walks away. If you don't, thank you very much, James 1. If you don't keep in mind what you have been taught, you will not do. Come on, are you with me?
Yes,
you will not do. And little things like this are the things that separate men from boys in their walk with the Lord. Yes. It's little things like this that separate men from boys. It's little things, little consecrations in our walk with God like this. Because the truth is, the man who has seen the love of God must love like God. Must love like God. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we ready to fly?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. I said 38, right? Let's read Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Then prepare John 3, 16. Matthew 5, 38. So are you with me? It says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Next verse, Jose. We're going to 48. Okay. It says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, you know, this is a figure of speech, right? This is not literal. And when I say it's not literal, what that means is, please, if somebody assaults you, defend yourself. Okay? But what he's saying is, we don't repay evil for evil. Remember, we read that in the book of Romans. You don't repay evil for evil because vengeance is his, not ours. You don't repay evil for evil. You repay evil. We overcome evil with good. So he says, but I say to you now, when we read that verse, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, someone can say, Moses, I'm just giving a rough summary of what we did last week. Moses, David had prayer points against his enemies. Why won't we pray such? Jesus will say, Moses said, but I say. So also, because Moses said that, but Jesus is saying, but I tell you. So when somebody now brings, David gave us some, let the ground open and swallow them. You say, David said, but Jesus said. And he's the express image, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. He's the express image of the Father. Anything, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. Anything that Jesus did, the Father was doing. So this is it. He said, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Shall I? Let's practice this after service. Verse 40. He said, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, Let him have your cloak also. This is an uncomfortable truth. But you know what this means? You are kind to somebody. Do you know the person wants to defraud you? You are wise. But you still have a kind disposition towards that person. You sorry, ma? Instagram vendors, yes. Sometimes if they scam you, you say, I swear by the... Turn it down! Anyways. Next verse. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go with him too. We're going to 48. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. There's a context to this. Because you know what the Bible also says? He that borrows and does not return again is wicked. I know, I'm preaching.
Very wicked.
There are people. They borrow from... You were bold when it was time to borrow. When it's not time to collect, you say, is it because of this? Oh, you can talk. You have voice now. Anyways. I don't borrow what I cannot let go of. To avoid stories. Let me not swear for you. Next verse. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what Moses, but look at what Jesus said. Next verse. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them who hate you. And pray for them who spitefully use you and what? Persecute you. Next verse. That ye may be the what? Sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the what? Good. And sends rain on the just and the what? Unjust. Look at this. Oh my goodness. When you repay evil with good, you are behaving like your Father. Because the Father is the standard, we are a reflection. That's why this sermon is called Mirror. Come on, are you here? That you may be what? Son, you see, I have realized most of the prayers, let my enemies somersault 7 times and die, is deeply rooted in let me get them before they get me. Most times. You won't find any such prayer in the New Testament. No. Most of the similar places that people bring those verses from, I exegeted on that last week. And we found out that they all belong to the Lord, not to us. Are you here? He said that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. When you realize the authority you have in Christ, you don't need to pray for your enemies to die. Because when they die, that doesn't glorify God. If they were not saved, they're probably going to hell. We need them saved. Amen? We need them saved. So we are not praying for them to die. We are being like our Father who is in heaven. We're going to do a series called The Believer's Authority. It's a teaching we do. You see, when you realize the authority the man in Christ has, you know those prayer points are not necessary. I gallant. It's not necessary. No weapon. Oh my God. No weapon. It doesn't matter what it is. Taking your picture somewhere, let me take a new one and send to you. He said, your name, I did not write, I'm taking your name to a strike. I said, let me insert my middle name. I'm a man, but my maiden name and give it to you. Because Jesus did not stutter when he said you will trample on serpents and scorpions and over every work of the enemy and nothing. It's not a realm, it's where you are living in.
Yeah.
It's not a realm. Is where you are living in. The man in Christ is over the work of the devil.
Yes,
for the devil to have leeway into the life of the man in Christ, he allowed it. Yes, there are doors you could open to the devil. And you know what? As soon as you realize that door, you close it. Permit me to speak French. You allow anybody. See, it doesn't matter. When I'm handling a case on someone and I realize the case is demonic, I like it. Because it's easiest to handle. You are fine. You are fine. I have seen the power of God run things. You lay hands on somebody, affliction of 19 years is over. Come out! 19 years is gone. That devil is a bastard liar. 19 years. Where's the power of the devil where Jesus is king? I don't need my enemies to die. I'm gallant. You will try everything and be frustrated and receive this Jesus. Let's move on. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He said, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? See, oh my goodness. If you love only those who love you, what is your reward? That you may be the sons of your Father. Are you aware God loves the sinner too? Come on. Are you aware?
Yes, sir.
God loves the sinner. So when you love those who don't love you, you are being like your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, do not the tax collectors do the same? The tax collectors, they love those who don't love, who love them too. And if you greet your brothers only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Next verse, final verse. He says, therefore, be ye perfect, just as your Father in heaven is what?
Perfect.
Of course, you know that the context of this is love. It's not sinless perfection. It's love. Be complete, be thorough, be like your Father who is in heaven. The believer's response in love is, the believer's love walk is a response to what the Father has done for him. Come on, are you with me? Give me John 3:16. Let's read it. John 3:16. Oh, so John is after Malachi. He says, then prepare 1 John 3:16 to 24. He says, for God so loved the world. Now, I've explained to you that the word so is huto. Not, so does not talk about quantity. So talks about manner. It means that this is how we know the love of God. This is Romans 5:8 paraphrased. Right? I explained that last week. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You should rejoice at that. Come on. Glory to God. Now, by providence, it is the same person that wrote this next book, and it is the same chapter and verse. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Can you see he's explaining that the soul there does not mean quantity, it means manner. He said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at this. We know that he loved us because he laid down his life for us. TC, are you here?
Yes,
we know he loves us because he did what? Laid down his life for us. And because we know that he laid down his life for us, we also should be able to respond just as he did. And lay down our lives for the what? Brethren. For the brethren. I feel to say this in my spirit. Listen to me. The Bible says in James 1, whoever is a forgetful hearer will not do the word. Will you listen to this sermon again?
Yes.
No, don't answer. Will you listen to this sermon again? Are you writing one or two things down? Daniel, I said to us. God bless you. Help me celebrate Daniel. It's okay. It's okay. Talk for me. It's okay. By this, because you know, I forget love work and rush you. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down. I saw a video where someone came to give testimony, and then somebody just walked beside and rushed him. Just there fighting. The pastor was in awe. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our life for brethren. So John 3:16 is revelation. 1 John 3:16 is application. Next verse. He said, but whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? That your varsity jacket, man of God. I have need of it. Hallelujah in the house. But look at, is he, please talk to me, that varsity jacket, is he the world's goods or not? Is he my brother or not? Celebrate God in the house. He says, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? Listen, when he says lay down your life, what he meant is you should be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the brethren. Many believers know how to give to church, but not to other believers. And I will say like Jesus, the other you also ought to do, not leaving this one undone. TJ, sit. Sit here. The other you ought to do, not leaving the other what? Undone. That's what Jesus said. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about it when we do cryptocurrency. That's our next series. The Bible says in the book of Acts, none of them lacked anything. A lot of people stopped there and said, I prophesy we'll be a prosperous church. Nobody will lack anything. The Bible says, for all of them hold on things in common. Everybody gave to the needs of somebody else. Because God has designed every local assembly to be self-sufficient. There are some things that should not come to leadership. There's something welfare team doesn't need to know. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Don't need to know. Somebody will just come and say, we'll handle this thing. Let's go on. How does the love of God abide in him? See, if you know John 3:16, but you don't love another brother, you are in error. Next verse. He said, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in what? Truth. He said, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. This is how we know that we are standing in truth. And this is how our hearts has surety before the Lord, because we are walking in love. Next verse. Oh, so we're running fast. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Very powerful verse. Next verse, we're going to it. He said, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you know what this means? Your love walk can hinder your prayer life. Or prayers from answer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Next verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and what?
Love
one another as he gave us. I'm going to show you where he gave the commandment. As he gave us commandment, 24. He said, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, and by the Spirit whom he has given us. Ladies and gentlemen, love is the man who can, it is only the man in Christ that can love like this. Why? Because that love is energized by the Spirit. It's not a feeling, it's a birth product of revelation. TC, are you in the house? It's a product of revelation. Oof. Okay, I'm still on board. Matthew 25. And I'm just throwing scriptures in the house. Matthew 25, verse 31. We're going to 40. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. Today is the final. Very soon. I see green in the I don't know. Did Ghanaians lose? Are they in the final? I don't know. Yamwa, Larry, I don't Lloyd,
you're waiting for one cup.
I don't know. They did see this coming. CEDIS. They did see this coming. 24 hours energy. Empower yourself to the final. Where were we? We're here. Sorry, not the final. We're here. Yes, yes. Wow. When we win the cup, we say, hey! Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, it said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, we're going to verse 40. It said, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. Please pay attention. This is a very important text of scripture. He said, all the nations will be gathered. Please, if you're a Ghanaian, no shade. It's joke. But we are in the final still. Just, it's a fact. It's not. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divide his goats from his sheep, from the goat. Those that are in final and those that are not. Next verse. And he will set the sheep, you know who they are, on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Next verse. The goat even starts from G. I don't can I prophesy? Next verse, next verse. Then the king will say to those on his what? Come, you blessed of my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Next verse. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. Now, I don't know if I have time. But let me explain. Those that say the kingdom has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a lot of people use that verse to mean that God has already decided those that will be goat and those that will be sheep. That's not true. What that simply means is God had already decided where the goats will go to and where the sheep will go to. What that simply also means, you know, the Bible says the Lord prepares the wicked for the day of trouble. I remember I was arguing with a Calvinist, and the Calvinist brought up, he said, the Lord prepares the wicked. I said, the Lord said he prepared the wicked, not he made them wicked. Do you get that? Just explain. 35, he said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. So that's wrong. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Who is the person who said I was? I was Jesus, right? Yes. Next verse, or the Lord. He said, then the righteous, that's those on the right, will answer to him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Huh? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Huh? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Next verse. Please, after this service, I need that part cut. I need to upload it before the match. It's very important to me. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to who? Me. Listen, when Paul, when the light, Paul, Jesus appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, Kenneth Hagin was one that showed this powerful revelation. When Jesus appeared to Paul on Damascus Road, and he told Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Just quick fact. Are you aware God did not change his name from Paul to Saul? Saul to Paul. Okay, for those that don't know, one is Hebrew, one is Greek. They are the same name. God did not change his name. Like, God cannot change those that are final to those that are not. It's a fact. I know, I know. Praise the Lord. You know, the songwriter said, as he dey sweet us, he go dey pain. Amen. I don't mourn Nathaniel Bassi. Kofi Date. Yes. He said, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did this for the least of my brethren, Jesus told Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't say, but Paul was not killing Jesus. He was killing other believers. It's the same thing he said there. Whatever you do to the least, my brethren, you do to anything you do to a believer, you are doing to Jesus. Jesus takes personally what you do to another believer. So when you show love to another believer, come on, Tizi, are you here? When you show love, when you clothe them, when they are in need and you supply to them, take it revelationally, you are doing it for Jesus. So the springboard of our generosity is love. And our generosity is not to men just because they are men, it is to the Lord. Peter tells us to, oh my God, let me run. I don't want to divert a lot. Matthew 18, give me Matthew 18, 15, 5 to 6. Matthew 18, 5 to 6, then prepare John 13, 35. I don't know, I'm seeing a flag in this comment section. It's green, white, green. He said, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Next verse. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. What this verse is saying is, if you, when you go against another believer, Jesus takes it personal. See, I want us to learn this revelationally. When you gossip against a believer, you backbite against a believer, you slander another believer, you do things that are not becoming of a believer against that believer, you are doing it against Jesus. He takes it personally. And that's why we will give account for idle words. We must be careful what we say, who we are speaking against, because that person is your brother. And you are not just touching the person, you are touching the head of the home. Tizzy, are you here?
Yes, sir.
John 13, 35. John 13, 35. He says, by this, come on, I want us to read this together like a mass choir. Are we ready?
Yes,
clear your throat, clear your throat, come on. Are we ready? One, two, go!
By this shall all men know that you
are my disciples.
If you have love for one another.
Do you know, I was just thinking about it. If we have Spanish people in the house, Martina is here, Osa is here, some speaking. Sorry, Osas, Osaritin. If we just have, they just interpret, hallelujah, it will happen. He says, by this shall all men, shall I say a kind, I'm not talking of a Yoruba, say Spanish. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It should be strange that you come among the gathering of the saints and love is lacking. Come on, are you here? When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, those are the characteristics of the love of God. Those should be the characteristics of your love towards men too. TC, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Now, one thing I want to piggyback off 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love bears no what? Record of wrong. Is that true?
Yes.
Love bears no record of wrong. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Jose, are you with me? We are going to verse 35. Then prepare Matthew 6, 14 to 15. Then prepare 1 John 2, 9 to 11. I should say it again. Prepare Matthew 6, 14 to 15. Then prepare 1 John 2, 9 to 11. Matthew 18, 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often? Please pay attention here. If you've not been paying attention from the beginning, please pay attention. Lord, Doc, please go up a bit. Let me hear you. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? He said, Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Hold on. I hope you know the idea Jesus was communicating to him here was not math. The idea was there should be no cap to your forgiveness. Next verse. Ooh, there's healing happening in the room already. He said, therefore, I'm seeing something that has to do with someone's stomach on this side. Is that person in the room? Please don't be embarrassed. I want to pray for you. Three, is that you? Come. Celebrate. Listen, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, we celebrate. Listen to me. We celebrate to show that Jesus is glorified. So celebrate God again. Put your hand there. Is he a pain? Saila Mahanda. Boruaka Fadiatai. Kedon Kakakakakaras. I pray for you both in the name of Jesus. By the finger of God, I bring judgment to those issues. By the finger of God, I bring judgment, fire to those issues. By the finger of God. In the name of the one who is known in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. Be healed! In the name of Jesus. Come back with your testimony. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Lift your other hand. Put one hand on that place. Lift the other one. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let the hand of God rise and cause it to be in 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wholeness. 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 Be healed. Lose your grip of her now. Be healed. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come back with your testimony. Be healed. Now gave an illustration. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Shall I need you to check this in Google? What is 10,000 talents worth in dollars today? Check that. When you find it, let me know. When he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Next verse. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Next verse. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. How much is it? 142 million. I received 10,000 times. 142 million. Million dollars. Huh? Yeah. Talk to me now. Million now. Uh-huh. How many zeros, Shola? Do you know? Shola is an accountant, so. Are you an accountant? How many figures? Nine zeros, billion. So let's just say it's 3 billion-ish. Ah, but that 140 million is heavy. Approximately $4 million, Abi. My God. $4 billion, that's more than Elon Musk. So he owed the master like 10 Elon Musks. Elon Muskus. Because Elon Musk is 200. Okay, Elon Musk is 200 billion. Is it billion or million?
Billion.
Billion, okay. So he holding a tithe of Elon Musk. Too tight of Elon Musk. He said, Master, have patience with me and I pay you all. Next verse. Then the master of the servant was moved with, please pay attention, was moved with what? Released him and forgave him the debt. Next verse. Somebody say, ah. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Check how much 100 denarii is in our currency. In dollars. Talk to me. Quick. 100 denarii. Shall I come? Let me explain what the man did. Come this way. Shall I come this way? He said, he laid hands on him and held his throat. Sit down. How much is that? 100 denarii. 5 pounds. One bowl, 5 pounds. It's 5 pounds. Talk to me now. Which is it? $5. $5 is not £5, yo. $11,000 what? 100 denarii. Is less than $5. Let's agree to disagree. Even less than $1 is less than $5. So let's agree to disagree. Please pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Are you here? TC, are you here? He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Oh, sir, let's go. We're going to 35. He said, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay. Next verse. And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. Next verse. So when the fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved, and they came and told the master all he had done. Next verse. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Next verse. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? Next verse. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he was due. Next verse. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I'm going to come to this verse. But look at this. Let's just agree it's $5. Someone owed him $5. He threw the person in prison. He was forgiving too tight Elon Musk. $4 billion he was forgiving. But this guy owed him $5. And he held him by the shirt. You see, the implication of Christianity is there's nothing you cannot forgive. Because you have been forgiven much. Do you know what Paul said? He said, forgive. Even as Christ for God's sake, have forgiven. Past tense, are you here? Even as Christ for God's sake, have forgiven you. Before you were born, the provision for your sins were already made. Jesus' death covered for the sins of those before he came, while he was alive, and those that will still come. Sins, past, present, future were remedied. TC, are you here? Sins, past, present, future. So it means that you that was forgiven much must forgive more. So you can't say that there's, I can forgive, but if you do this to me, I will never forgive you. It cannot come out of your mouth. Because there's much that you have been forgiven. And can I tell you, biblical forgiveness also comes with reconciliation. You can't say, I forgive, but I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You are not going to be in my sin. That's not forgiveness. That's not it. Now, you could forgive somebody and love them, but because they are toxic, give space. Please don't hear what I'm saying. But there are some people that's you just want to say, I forgive you, but I hate you. That's just saying as it is. But then we are diplomatic about it. Forgiveness, if it's not entire, is not true. It's not true. If you're still going to be seeing the person from the lens of what they did, you've not forgiven the person. If you someone steals your money, you can forgive the person and not put them near money again. But then, I know that I have nothing against you. Come on, TC, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Because the Lord forgave you much, you must forgive much. If you refuse to forgive, it's like you are owing £5, but you were let go of a debt of $2 billion. Your sins past, forgiven, present, there's the blood to take care of it. Future, he has done something about it. Why won't you forgive? The day you accepted his love, you accepted his forgiveness, you also accepted that you will never be unforgiving again. It doesn't matter how valid what was done to you is, you must forgive. TC, are you listening to me? It doesn't matter how valid what was done to you is, you must forgive. Someone said, For unforgiveness is drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. Many people that hurt you have moved on with their life, but you're like, this boy, he's a devil, I will never forgive him. The fact that somebody broke up with you does not mean their lives will end.
Yes.
The fact that someone, listen, let me say another sensitive one. The fact that someone cheated on you does not mean everybody must know. Do you know what the Bible says about Joseph? The Bible says Joseph was a just man. But because he was a just man, he wanted to put Mary away privately, saying that she was pregnant. It's not Tinko they were doing when she got pregnant. But he saw that she was pregnant and it was not by his hand. So he wanted to put her away privately. Some of you will say, I hate iniquity, I love righteousness, I must expose this. But being a righteous man, he wanted to put her away privately. Don't, because you hate sin, religiously destroy somebody. That's not love. Listen, what I'm saying is easier than done. Have you forgiven somebody that has not apologized? Does not deserve it. Listen, your sins in the future were atoned for. Do you know what that means? Because the Bible, James says, I'm not saying this to you, and that's why I'm saying this. I'm not saying this to you that you should sin. But know that when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So I'm not saying this to you that you should sin. But then the blood even has made a way even for your sins that are to come. TC, are you here? What that also means, please, are you here?
Yeah.
What that also means is this: you must forgive people in advance. These things I'm preaching, I know some people are waiting for when PNI, when you enter the heat of relationship. February is relationship month. When are you going to teach? If you don't know this one, you'll be a witch as a girlfriend,
yeah.
A witch as a wife. A witch as you are a warlock husband. If they don't kneel down, lie down, and bring sacrifice at midnight, you will not forgive. Many people who get divorced, a large chunk of them, this research, they were still in love with one another. The TV is about to go off. So look at what he says. He says, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart. If each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother, his child. Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? 1 John 2:9. 1 John 2:9. Listen, let me even say this, because we all come to church and we are our Sunday best. Listen, even someone who abused you sexually, forgive them. I like the soul in the air now. Forgive them. Because Jesus died for them too. And you're not forgiving them because of what they did or did not do. You are forgiving them for God's sake. And you don't forgive people and say, I'm going to be the bigger person here. You are the smaller person if you say that. I'm going to forgive you because I'm the bigger person. No. If you're the bigger person, be it, don't say it. Just forgive and move on. 1 John 2, he says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Doc, please hold on. Verse 11. He said, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let me tell you. So when we say things like, when Jesus said things like, if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you too. And Paul says, forgive even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Are we forgiving, or if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us? This is the balance of, this is what the verse simply means. If you hate your brother, you are not saved. Because the man who, the man in Christ has been empowered to love. So the man who has been forgiven will forgive. He will forgive. He will forgive. God, this sermon must not have part two. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to preach the rest in 5 minutes. Listen, love opens you to the possibility of offense, and you must accept it. Love opens you to the possibility of offense. If you think you're going to be around people and nobody will offend you, think again. Love opens you up to the possibilities of offense. Know this now and anticipate it. That when people offend me, I'm not going to respond to them from the lens of offense. I'm going to respond to them from the lens of the love of God. So I'm going to overcome evil with good. So when they do something wrong again, in fact, when we go back to Jesus, say, if your brother has something against you, before you give it, keep it first. Go and settle it. If somebody has a problem with you, call the person. Is everything okay? I see you are behaving like this towards me. Is it just in my head? Talk to me. Then the person does not want to respond. It's fine. But you at least make steps in the direction of peace. That is the believer who walks in love. In that, you know that believers will fall. Galatians chapter 6, it says, let he who is spiritual restore a believer who has fallen to a fault. Let me tell you something. If a believer in TEC now, God forbid, well, not God forbid, behave yourself, that's all I'll say. If a believer in TEC now that used to lead prayer, do fireful thing, is not married and gets pregnant, will you see the person the same way? If the person is still living prayer, what will go through your mind? No, be honest to yourself. Be sure the person will go through many things. But you know what the Bible says? Restore such a one in the spirit of me. Listen, I've been pastoring people for a bit. As a pastor, you hear strange things with stupid excuses. I don't know how it happened. Are you okay? Yes. It says, if anyone is overtaking nature, you who are spiritual, who are the people that are spiritual? In the chapter before, he was talking of the fruits of the Spirit. The people that are spiritual are those who walk in the fruit of the Spirit. They are supposed to restore that person in the spirit of what? Gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. See, listen, this does not mean that, are you aware, a false prophet and a believer who falls into error are two different people?
Yes,
a false prophet should be dragged like tiger gem. Some of you don't know what tiger gem is, it's fine. You are probably Ghanaian. So, it's fine. But a believer who falls into error must be restored properly. Listen, when I hear a believer has fallen into a scandal, I don't say, how could they? I'm with fear. Because under the right circumstances, right in quote, you'll be amazed what you will do. Yes. You'll be amazed what you will do. So when a believer is in a fault, you are looking to restore that person. Because Jesus died for this person. If I as a pastor catch you, you have a moral failing. You see, you will lead all the prayer chain. You will come for overturn. See, you will pray that when you see anything that looks like that failing, you will flee. The whole 18 hours, you will have 14 and a half hour, you will pray, your throat will not work anymore. That's how you restore such a one. But you must not look at that. When a believer has a failing or a struggle, it's not, tell it not in God. It's not your place to now go and be saying, can you imagine what she did? Is it because we didn't catch you?
Yeah.
Now, who didn't catch the thief now? Let me go a step further. Are you aware it's un-Christian to be homophobic?
Yeah.
Yes. You shouldn't hate homosexuals. It is un-Christian to be homophobic. It's hard. Because we're African. Pastor, is that in the Bible? You shouldn't be homophobic. Because it is a sexual sin, just like fornication too. Just like fornication. If you are cohabiting under the sound of my voice, I come as a prophet. Malakudalawasaida. Don't do it. Come off it. Restore. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because there's a way you want to enforce righteousness, you will fall into sin. Another teaching for another day. You will fall into sin. Don't let offense have a place in your heart. Don't keep nursing offense. Admin, I'm so sorry. But you give me a few more minutes. Please. Please. Everybody look at Lidke and say, please.
Please.
Hey. James chapter 5, verse 20. James chapter 5, verse 20. Don't worry, by 2:40 would have ended the service. Ended the entire service. I'll take announcement. He says, let him know. He says, this talking about the believer and sin. Let him know that he who turns a sinner. Now, here he calls a believer a sinner. Not because by nature that believer is a sinner. But behaviorally, the believer is behaving like a sinner. So by nature, he's not. Ontologically, he's not. But behaviorally, he is. Because he's behaving like one. Are you getting this? He said, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover him. Don't let a believer who is in error be corrected so much so that they lose hope in all God has for them. Don't do that. Don't be that person that... So somebody comes into TEC today dressing somehow. Don't by your eyes let them know that I'm not welcome here. I didn't do well. There is a way to restore. There's a way to correct. God loves sinners. We should too. That we may be sons of our Father, which is in heaven. So when a believer falls, some people don't even pray. We just want to bring out the rod. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart. He had his own moral feeling. Another minister was bashing him. Months later, they catch him. Yes. And this is how it works in the system of men. If you don't show mercy in your own day, in your day. So, when a minister has a moral failing, and I'm talking of love, this is part of love work. Sometimes, let me even say this one, propaganda isn't always the tool of the enemy. His goal is to discredit. We'll talk about that another day. There is a way to handle a believer falling. Now, there's a difference. Did we catch you or you came to us? Personally, in TEC, anybody who is a pastor, let me not talk for them. You will give me your collar. You don't need it. Depending, if we restored you once, we now saw that restoration. You don't need it. I'll collect my collar back because you are not using it. I know. As the believer, you must not. That's just an example. When you find another believer in sin, there is a way to correct. This story I just remember. Brother James was walking away. He saw him in this store, remember? Listen, if you are in this house and you are nursing offense, please let it go. Offense does not just stay in your heart, it's nursed. You fan it. It grows in your life. It can start like an innocent conversation. How could this person, and it's gone. And before you know, listen, if you have a complaint, take it to right authorities. If you talk to another person about it, it might just be an empty thought that is sown. And after a while, the person will not keep it, it's true. Because love hides a multitude of errors. But offense will amplify. Yeah. Make excuses for people. Some people are living life from the lens of their trauma. Why didn't she pick my call? Maybe I'm a body. Maybe I'm a body. I didn't want to disturb you. Who told you? Second Corinthians. I have two more scriptures and then I'm done. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Doc, please play something. Second Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 to 12. Then prepare James chapter 5 verse 15. Look at this. This is Paul speaking. He said, "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." So the context is what? Forgiveness, right? 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Next verse. Okay, it's 11 now. Listen, we are not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness is a device. The way your iPad is one. Unforgiveness is a tool of the enemy. It's a tool of the enemy. When you walk in unforgiveness, the devil can have a hold in the person's life. Even a believer. So, he said, lest Satan should take advantage. When the believer walks in unforgiveness, Satan can have advantage. Come on, TC, are you here? Yes. Satan can have advantage. James 5. James 5. James 5, 15. So this is, he said, if any believer is sick among you, he said, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The reason I quoted this verse is simply because to buttress what I said in the beginning, sin in the life of the believer can open doors to the enemy, even though that stay of the enemy is illegal. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So it means that this can also lead to what? Sickness. Is illegal. Oh, I've seen things. Somebody is struggling with cancer. You just lead by the Spirit. You know the person should forgive somebody. The person forgives, cancer is gone. How is cancer and forgiveness together? It's James 5. Listen, learn to step out and see the devil. I heard of a couple where they said, in fact, the Bible says, I don't think I quoted it. 1 Peter 3:17, it said, learn to dwell with your wives with knowledge. It said, so that your prayers be not hindered. It means that Satan can, an offense can rise in your home, not because of you people, but because of what God wants to do. So you are so distracted fighting each other that you forget what God is doing. Heard of a couple who they had been trying to have children for years. But we're adults here now, except Sophie. So every time the woman is ovulating, they will have fight. And they will not talk for days. Yeah, they will not talk for days. They will not... Please leave the commentary. Learn to step out, and that's why sometimes rather than right or wrong is love. Sometimes take the fault for love to abound. Many times, if the answer is love, it's not about who was wrong, who was right. It's what's the Lord saying? Is I want God to cut. Do you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6? He said, don't even take another believer to court. Suffer, be defrauded first. Rather than taking another believer, two churches are going to court over land. That the Lord's PR be sustained, rather suffer loss. Now, when you want to do a believer business with another believer, don't say, I'll take you to court. Draft contract. But are we getting this balance?
Yes,
I will end with this. In Acts 13, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. But from Acts 15, we were hearing Paul and Silas. What happened? The Holy Ghost said, but they fought because of John Mark. So God can say this. Offense will lead change in direction. This is a common thing in relationships. in marriages. See, this sermon does not apply to relationship within the brethren. It means even in marriages. Have you fought so much that you even forget why you were fighting? You just know you're angry at each other. Learn to step out and see the devil. Learn to step out and see the devil. The reason may be legit, but there is an invisible hand you are not seeing. If you are here and you don't talk to your parents, come on. Come on. Learn to see an invisible hand at work. Step out and catch the devil. Say, hey, you will not take advantage over me. I know you. I know you. Offense amplifies errors. Love corrects errors. Love corrects errors. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, this is the believer's disposition towards the people around him. The believer must be known as a preacher of love. The believer must walk in love. Are you with me? Tease your eyes to your feet. Listen, I want us to bring your understanding in 1 minute because time is fast spent. Lord, I choose to walk in love. Anyone, you know when the Bible says that your prayers be not hindered, it means that you can walk in offense and miss what God has because offense is in front of you rather than what the Lord is doing. And the devil can have advantage and foothold. I want you to say, Lord, I will live for you. Lord, I will love because this is your cause. Pray in your understanding. Talk to him. I will walk in love.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. Nelson Behagon Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/Nelson Behagon. And for contact details, follow on Instagram @Nelson Behagon. God bless you.